Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Everybody, welcome to Crooked Conversations. This is Crooked contributor Simone D. Sanders, and today I want to talk about something extremely important, something near and dear to my heart, net neutrality, or what we like to call internet equality. So we are going to chat with Commissioner Mignon Clyburn from the FCC today. There was an extremely disastrous vote that took place at the FCC, and the internet is under attack, y'all. That's the best way I can say it. Consumers are under attack in this country, and a partisan vote was taken the other day on a right along party lines, and FCC commissioners of the Republican flavor gleaned to not protect you. The FCC pulled out their own teeth, and we're going to talk about that today.
The internet is the most empowering, inclusive platform of our time. There was no threat of a major gatekeeper getting in the way. And if they did, you had an FCC with the teeth to do something about it. We just pulled our own teeth. We are now a toothless agency when it comes to protecting you against harm if your internet service provider does not treat you the way in which they should.
We're going to talk about what are the implications of the vote, what can folks do out there in the streets now, and we're actually going to break down net neutrality, because if you like me, some of y'all didn't even know what it was. So I'm excited we've got Commissioner Clyburn with us today, and we're going to have a great conversation. Let's get into it. Commissioner Clyburn, thank you for being with us today.
It is my pleasure.
Okay, now it's unfortunate that we got to have this conversation.
Yes.
We are going to talk about net neutrality today. There was a very, very important vote that went down. So can you first tell us about the vote? And then we're going to delve into net neutrality, because I don't really even think folks understand what net neutrality is.
The majority of the FCC decided that the rules that we put in place in 2015 to protect the consumers, that said internet service providers, the person or the entity you buy your broadband from, that you pay that bill every month, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Some people ain't paying that bill every month.
And some people don't have access to broadband. Okay. We'll talk about that later. That they have to treat you and the traffic over the internet equally. That means, somebody summed it up best for me 2 days ago. This is about internet equality. It is about all traffic, all applications being treated equal. But what the FCC said is, we want to deregulate. We want to further deregulate the market. And we don't think that you need an FCC cop on the beat to do that. We think that there's another agency, the Federal Trade Commission or the FTC, that could be that cop on the beat for you. So we're going to basically abandon you, you know, when it comes to the protections that you have been afforded for almost 3 years, and officially, but we've been there watching since 2005. We've been really, really having our hands on the market and seeing whether or not all of this is working since 2005. And what we said is, you don't need that anymore. We're not going to give you that anymore. And they reversed or voted to repeal those net neutrality rules that put protections in place for consumers and small businesses.
So now the internet, what you're saying is consumers and their ability to access free and fair and open access to the internet is now in jeopardy, and it's no longer actually protected by the FCC.
Absolutely, because what we have said is, all you have to do is disclose. So you, when you sign that contract for internet, in that fine print, if you, you know, if you like me, you need readers, or you need the magnifying glass if you're old school, or get up on that screen. All I have to do is put somewhere in that contract that I could block, slow down traffic, have paid, what we call paid prioritization, meaning somebody has to pay more for an equal, you know, same level of service. All I have to do is disclose to you, and I can basically do it. And there is no agency that's going to stop me.
So y'all, this is what I liken this to. It's like water. So net neutrality for me was like water. Like, you pay a fee to the utilities, the water company, and you can turn on water in your house anytime you'd like to turn on water. And we all get the same, you know, quality of water. Sometimes
in D.C., the water may not be too good.
It's gotten better.
You know, the water has gotten better, mm-hmm. but we all have the same level of access to water. Repealing net neutrality, ending net neutrality means that now the water company can decide to slow your water down. Or sometimes maybe between the hours of 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., you can't even get water. And you have to pay extra for the water you'd like to get. So I just want folks to understand just how absolutely crazy this is, but also that folks now with more means, i.e. more financial means, i.e. maybe wealthier people will now have abilities that middle class and maybe poor folks in this country won't have.
Well, you know, I think of it, because I guess I have a problem with speeding, as coming to a four-way intersection. Mm-hmm. You have traffic lights that are sending the signals. But if you take those signals away, you got the potential for, you know, for a lot of harm. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't have the signal, if I don't know when I'm supposed to be going, if I don't know, you know, who has access to what, if there's not somebody looking out to make sure that that traffic flows equally and appropriately, then we have a problem. Because, you know, I might be more of an aggressive driver, and all of the people in that lane might be more an aggressive driver. So you will never get across. You will be slowed down. You might get across eventually, but not at the pace in which you need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the checks and balances are in place. Because here's a little secret that nobody's talking about, particularly the ones who say, we don't need these net neutrality rules, because the internet service provider has no incentive to slow down, block, or degrade your service, or ask you to pay a toll.
Mm-hmm.
Only 50% of Americans, more than 50% of Americans, only have one high-speed internet broadband access or option at home.
Really?
More than 50% of us only have one provider for home high-speed internet service.
Actually, this is true, because why do I need two providers at my house?
Well, meaning it doesn't matter what you need at your house. It's who offers services in your area. So that's what, you know, I'm saying.
Folks have a monopoly. You're right. There's not a lot of competition in the market.
And in a lot of cases, that's not rich or poor areas. They're D.C. I know of somebody who just said, who I know lives in $1 million-plus house, that she only has one option when it comes to broadband internet service. So what does that mean?
That means they can do whatever they'd like.
And where do you go if you want internet? So this is, you know, what we're talking about. You know, people are saying that, or pretending that this is a competitive market. This is not a competitive market for most people in this country and most places in this country. No matter if you live in $1 million-plus, step up in D.C., or if you live outside of Charleston, South Carolina, where I'm headed today, chances are great that you have only one option. And now we're saying that, you know, we're going to abandon you. You're going to be okay. That you don't need anybody, standing over and watching what that internet service provider is doing, because the market can take care of it. Markets work well when there's competition, where there's more inclusive activities. We don't regulate your mobile phone, your cell phone market. You know why?
It's so much competition.
Yeah, we decided years ago, the FCC said, we're not going to, you know, it's competitive. You don't need us. You got enough choice. The markets will take care of yourself. If you got a problem with one, you know, barring the contract, we can talk about that.
You can go to another.
Exactly. But that's not true for more than 50% of Americans when it comes to home internet access.
So one more thing, and then I want to talk about like what happens next. But one more thing. And so, yes, the folks are talking about these internet service providers. But I've also been in conversations with lots of folks that are saying this could also affect like our streaming services. This could potentially affect things like our social media, like Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, free the internet. Twitter could now be like bound and locked up. And I think what folks don't understand is that the internet service providers can actually now could potentially, if they would like, decide what type of content you get to have access to on their platform.
So this is a good point to bring up what net neutrality is in simple terms where non-lawyers like me can understand. So net neutrality is a concept that people like you and me, businesses, large or small, but particularly small businesses, they should be able to reach the online applications and services of their choice without the government or provider getting in the way. equal access. When you click on that mouse, or when you go, you know, through your whatever device you use to access the internet, that as long as it's legal, because mm-hmm. we're all talking about legal content, legal data, legal traffic, if it travels over the internet, it should be treated equally. It should be seen as equal. Now what we've done was, in essence, hand the keys to the internet over to powerful internet, multi-billion dollar businesses mostly, that have the bulk of the market, the broadband market, and we're saying, we trust you.
Oh.
We trust you. We trust the market to protect consumers, because you have no incentive to do that. But what we don't say is how we got here, or how we got to 2015 to have those rules. We saw internet service providers blocking. We saw them slowing down traffic. We saw them favoring competitive businesses over the other. And 2015 is an interesting year, because in 2015, there was this home security service that complained to the FCC because they said a certain internet service provider that had their own home security service was favoring their traffic, their experiences, their access to getting people to know about their services over the other.
So there's precedent for this.
There is absolutely. We didn't just, this just didn't pop, this didn't just hatch. You know, there is
this
precedent.
This just ain't happened. No, you know, this no, just didn't pop no, up no. And people are, because people, that, I mean, that's another question folks had.
Right.
Folks were saying, like, is all of the concern that folks have over net neutrality ending, is this just speculation, or is there actual precedent for this? And I think folks should understand out there that there is precedent for this.
Exactly.
In the market. Okay.
You know, again, none of this is, you know, isolated. Look, your internet service provider, if you had internet, say, 10 or 12 or 15 years ago, your internet service provider looks a lot different now than it did then. Case in point, there is one major internet service provider that now owns a very popular search engine. Mm-hmm. So if somebody else has a search engine, that internet service provider has the incentive to favor that service, that search engine, more than another search engine. Internet service providers now produce and have content. Mm. So there's a possibility that if I'm in the production, you know, business, I want to, you know, my creative talents, it probably won't be successful. The internet might be the only but anyway, because I, you know, I can talk creatively, but maybe not produce creatively, that if I have content that you think is, a competitor, then that internet service provider could favor their traffic over mine. And here is the ticket. The internet service providers, mm-hmm. most of the major internet service providers, actually also own media companies.
Wow.
And so, again, protections were in place because we saw that the internet service provider is not just an internet service provider. It is a business that has lots of tentacles, lots of competing businesses. Some of it is good in terms of choice for us. But if that internet service provider shows preference for their business interests, for their friends, or for their concerns over a competing business, over some scrappy startup, over some, you know, some of our friends we know, like Deshaun over at Quelle TV, mm-hmm. trying to, you know, get her streaming online movie video content, you know, over the line. You know, what does she have? She's vulnerable. Netflix is going to be fine.
Yeah,
they're established.
It's the startups. It's the small absolutely. Guys that are going to be hurt here.
Absolutely.
The last thing, because then I'm outraged. I hope everybody else is outraged. I have on a Trayvon hoodie right now. Yes. Shout out to Liberated People and the Trayvon Martin Foundation. And when talking about net neutrality, all I could think about were the activists.
Yes.
And these different movements that have really been bolstered by the ability to organize online. I think of the activists who identify with the Black Lives Matter yes. movement. I think of the Ferguson activists. I think of these women in the Me Too movement. I think of the Women's March, when millions of women marched across the world.
Yes.
And so talk a little bit about the threat that this brings to activism and activists for young people like myself.
I can think of no other people who are more at risk now than people of color.
Mm.
You know, people in marginalized communities, people in some of these rural areas, that those gatekeepers, and when I say gatekeepers, I'm talking about internet service providers, and I'm lumping in the entire media ecosystem in this. Look, we would not have heard about Ferguson, Missouri, if it weren't for free and open and inclusive internet. Guess what? Because the local media on the ground and the national media was not paying attention to that groundswell and all of those things that were going on uncovered in Ferguson, Missouri, until that hashtag and those people on the ground made their voices heard over the internet. Then and only then did the major media come in. Then and only then was the story covered by them. Mm-hmm. But those people on the ground told their own stories because they had access to a mobile phone and they could, propel and get that information out online freely and unencumbered. And that's what the 2015 rules, ensured. Look, they're not covering our stories.
No.
To the degree in which we deserve. They're not distributing our content to show different sides of us. America has this view, particularly of communities of color, because it's been filtered and diminished in some cases through the eyes of those producers and those traditional distribution outlets that says, we think this is going to sell, or this is what society feels about this. So let us, perpetuate this type of, vision, of African-American women, particularly, African-American women. A free and open internet with us being able to distribute and share and tell our own stories and get our own content, it allows anyone who has access, online access, to see the other sides of the story. Because we are multidimensional, too. We deserve to be covered. Our information, our feelings deserve to be out there. But it's not happening through traditional outlets. The internet is the most empowering, inclusive platform of our time.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It has allowed us to organize, to be connected in ways like
it gave us Black Twitter. It all of that. There was no threat of a major gatekeeper getting in the way. And if they did, you had an FCC with the teeth to do something about it. We just pulled our own teeth. We are now a toothless agency when it comes to protecting you against harm if your internet service provider does not treat you the way in which they should. We just abandoned the American people when it comes to protections. And uncertainty is not our friend. Mm-hmm. It is not our friend when we're trying to have businesses online. It's not our friend when we're trying to get our, information, what's going on the ground, online. Uncertainty is not our friend. Surely blocking, slowing down traffic, and paying a toll, that's not good for our voices to be heard. These are the things people say, well, I woke up this morning, my internet still worked. I still access, the websites of my choice. I don't see any difference. You're not going to see any difference in the short run.
Mm-hmm. But it's in the long term.
It is in the long run when you start noticing differences. And we just pulled our teeth. And who's going to be there to protect you?
Nobody.
Crooked Conversations is brought to you by the Dollar Shave Club. John.
Can I get some Dr. Carver's butter?
We'll get you your Dr. Carver's butter, but stop getting ahead of yourself, all right? Don't put the cart before the shave horse. The shave cart before the shave horse. You've heard me talk about the amazing shave I get from my Dollar Shave Club razor, especially when I use it with their Dr. Carver's shave butter. Well,
ding, 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 ding.
Well, I'm here to tell you I'm never giving up my membership. In fact, I'm adding even more DSC products to my daily routine. Dollar Shave Club makes products for your hair, face, skin, shower, everything you need. You know, it's funny. That's one thing that's not like the other, Some of those are body parts, and one of those is a place where you clean those body parts.
That's right.
Weird. They have me looking and feeling amazing. It's such a funny thing to throw in. And it's all their own original stuff. They only use the finest premium ingredients. They deliver it to you just like they do the razors. That means no more annoying trips to the store, cruising up and down aisles, looking at a shelf of what the hell is that and what do I do with it? Who are you people out there baffled at the store?
What is this on the shelf?
I mean, they do label their products. Anyway, I use Dollar Shave Club for just about everything. They got me covered head to toe. Gift memberships and e-cards are available. DSC can help cover the names on your holiday shopping list too. I want you to love the Dollar Shave Club as much as I do. So we've arranged for you to try your first month of their best razor along with several travel size versions of the shave butter,
yep.
The body cleanser.
Yep. And what else? Yes, what else? What else?
I'm sorry. My screen broke. I can't see what it says.
I can't see either.
Tommy, what comes after body cleanser but before $5?
I don't know.
None of our screens are working.
It's the butt wipes.
What kind of butt wipes, John?
One wipe, Charlie. Best butt wipes on the market.
And you all get all that for $5.
Why am I always the one who has to say butt
wipes? That was a setup for me. Fun. Lucky I wasn't paying attention.
He was not paying attention at all. Really, so real helpful.
I had to take the butt wipes.
Step in. He took a butt wipe for the team. And that replacing cartridges shipped for a few bucks a month. It's the DSC starter set. Get yours for just $5 exclusively at the dollarshaveclub.com/crookedcombos. Get yours for just $5 exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/crookedcombos. That's dollarshaveclub.com/crookedcombos. Mm-hmm. $5, all the stuff.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
So what can we do? So this was clearly a disastrous vote that was taken. And I just want everybody to know, if you probably haven't gleaned it already, Commissioner Clyburn was on the side of the people.
Absolutely.
She was not one of the commissioners that voted to end net neutrality.
I listened to those millions of voices. We had over 20 million comments, the legitimate comments, and that's another subject we'll talk about for another day. Those comments that were legitimate were overwhelmingly in support of net neutrality. If you look at the stats today and looking at America, every credible poll will show you, and this is bipartisan, over 70% of Republicans, over 80% of Democrats are for net neutrality principles, but
we all love the internet.
We all love the internet, and we don't want to be at risk.
Absolutely.
Just the thought of being at risk. So people say, is this speculative or not? Might be speculative going forward, but it's based on historic precedent. Mm. It is based on companies favoring their content, their business interests, sometimes their political philosophies over others. And so, you know, would you rather somebody prevent harm, mm-hmm. or would you rather somebody to come in after you're harmed? That's the question for me.
Well, with the vote, now we are with the latter. So what happens now for folks who are upset for there was a rally, there was a counter protest outside of the meeting yesterday, folks rallying, urging commissioners to keep net neutrality in place. What can happen now? I know there's some congressional fixes that people are talking about. So tell us, where does the movement go now?
The movement and the fight for net neutrality, net equality is not over. Mm. It has to continue. If you care about this issue, your voices still need to be heard. Yes, there are over 18 states who made it very clear that they're going to file a complaint because what the FCC file in the courts to challenge what the FCC did. Because what also is happening at the state level, a little fine print in that order that we passed, the FCC told the states that they don't have any authority in this space. So if, say, New York, which has been very active and very vocal, the state of New York wanted to do something different to protect their citizens online. The FCC basically told them, you do not have a place here. So they, in 17 other states, are challenging what the FCC did. Because I don't even think, number one, we didn't notice them to tell them that we were going to take them out of the game. And I don't even think that we have the authority to do that. That's one. So the states are weighing in. There are small, content people. And there are small tech companies who have made it very clear that they're going to go to the courts and challenge the FCC. And yes, there are there's at least one bill being introduced, I believe, by Senator Markey in the U.S. Senate that says look, FCC got it wrong. We need a congressional fix.
Which is definitely something that can happen under the CRA, Congressional Review Act.
It could.
Any time, like Congress at any time, can take anything that a federal commission has done, and they can come in and issue a resolution that says, actually, we're going to make that null and void because that's not good for the people. So that is a potential congressional fix that can happen.
And if there is a congressional fix, so to speak, the only way this works, if the FCC stays in the game, mm-hmm. that the FCC is that protector, that cop on the beat, that referee on the field that will say in real time, you know, and show that we are protecting you. Because, again, if you give me a decision at the Federal Trade Commission that only comes in. So let me back up on that. So what the FCC also did yesterday, it says, you don't need us, American public. You can be protected by the Federal Trade Commission or the FTC. The three things that are interesting about that. Number one, the FTC does not have clear authority here. They don't have clear authority over telecommunications companies, which most of the internet service providers are also telecommunications, you know, companies. Number two, they're not the expert agency. They have absolutely no history, no background,
Commission.
They have no experiences when it comes to net neutrality rules. None. The FCC has been at the forefront, not the FTC. And what's even more troubling is this high bar or high standard that the FTC has when you file any complaint with them. Unfair and deceptive practices. Now, what's the definition of a fair? That's in the eye of the beholders. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave that, mm-hmm. you know, to you. And whatever the authority is, but deceptive practices. And it says or, unfair or deceptive practices. Is it deceptive if I put in paragraph 25 in 6-point font, which I cannot read anymore, that I can block and slow down and have paid prioritization? If I have put that in that contract and you have signed that contract, then that's not deceptive because I've already told you, even if you didn't see the fine print or not. So this is why citizens, individuals, and small businesses are so vulnerable and should be worried today, because there's nobody stopping them from doing just what I described.
I was saying all day yesterday, this is absolutely crazy. Folks should absolutely be sounding the alarm. So what I hear you saying is we could get a fix in the courts.
We could get a fix in the courts.
We could get a fix in Congress, but you can't say it, but I will. But this Republican Congress, y'all, I don't think it's going to do anything. So perhaps forcing the vote will make this an electoral issue in 2018.
Well, you know, I had to be tiptoe and answer you on the political side. But I will say what's interesting is at least 5 Republicans weighed in before the vote. I am sure that there will be more hearing from small businesses and individuals and their communities. And once this, you know, might have seemed like a partisan divide, increasingly you're hearing Republican voices because they're hearing from those businesses at home. Because now people are waking up and say, what could possibly happen? You know, again, if we were talking about a competitive market, I could see the point being made. You know, if you had more than one, if 50% of Americans had more than one provider, I could see the case being made, but that is not the case. That is not how this ecosystem looks for the majority of Americans today. And that's why we're so vulnerable. FCC is supposed to be a cop on the beat when you have a monopolistic framework, when you only have one, or you have an oligopoly. I'm just showing off to let you know, I remember some stuff.
You know your stuff.
2, 3, or 4. But that's not the case.
And y'all don't take direction from the administration, or you're not
exactly.
supposed to.
Exactly. I call it an independent agency with a small I. Because we're
independent agency with a small I.
Because we're influenced, but we're not supposed to take our orders for, you know, any other authority but the American people, you know, the directive on, you know, what the case or the docket or has built. We're supposed to look at the record that has been built that is supposed to include what the American people say. But it is obvious that we have ignored the will of the majority of the people because, again, I said, you know, most of the comments were supportive. We ignored 47,000 consumer complaints about what's going with internet service providers. And then the majority says, you know, we haven't really heard about any complaints. But they ignored those complaints. You have to, an outside group had the petition to even see the complaints. So they're not officially a part of the record. So it, the fix was in. I don't know how else to say it. The fix was in. Minds were already made up. It did not matter what the public thought. It did not matter what the evidence, you know, brought before. It did not matter all of the problems, you know, with stolen identities, with some of those comments that were pro net neutrality.
I mean, y'all, look, there were false comments. There were bots that flooded that
stolen
flooded the
identities.
Comment process and literally ascribed real people's names. I know people
right.
who are on the side of wanting net neutrality to stay in place who looked up their names and found that there were negative comments
exactly.
against net neutrality ascribed to their names. And so
and there's a Russian fingerprint on this, too.
Come on now. This is what we're up against. Okay, y'all. And we can have a whole separate conversation about
absolutely.
Cyber espionage and the lack of cybersecurity and how every single, like, all of our processes are under attack right now. Yes. Look, we could talk for hours, about this. But, y'all, what you need to know is the vote happened. The FCC now has pulled all their teeth out. And what you can do is support those 18 different states that are suing to block this, to gain their rights back. We need to call our representatives in the Senate and in Congress. And we need to support our good, fabulous commissioner, Ms. Commissioner Mignon Clyburn, who's out there fighting a good fight every day, who's on a whirlwind tour trying to educate the folks about net neutrality. And we got to organize, y'all. We got to take to the streets. Hashtag free the internet. Hashtag save Black Twitter.
Hashtag
we all we got.
I know. Hashtag internet freedom.
Internet freedom.
Hashtag internet equality.
Internet equality. Well, thank you, Mignon. Where can the people find you on Twitter? What's your Twitter handle?
M. Clyburn FCC, I think.
See, look, the millennials is like, we got it. You can find Mignon, Commissioner Mignon Clyburn at M. Clyburn FCC. That's
so I was right.
She was right. M. Clyburn FCC. Give her a tweet. She'll tweet back. You can find me again. I'm Simone D. Sanders at Simone D. Sanders on Twitter. Thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thank you.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you like this conversation, please rate us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Simone D. Sanders, Crooked Contributor, and I'm signing off.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.